World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good, Wednesday morning? Tax day? Tax day, it's a day that you have to report how much money you made under penalty of perjury. Today, right? Today's the day every American has got to have filed their income taxes. And if you filed your income taxes and you made a mistake on it, you have committed perjury. Did you know that, folks? Did you know that when you sign your income tax form, it's under penalty of perjury? Now, somewhere along the line, Spencer, pull up the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. No, I'm not going to talk about taxes. It just happens to be tax day, okay? I'm not going to talk about that, but I'm going to make some connections here. The U.S. Fifth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment says no person shall be held. Wait a minute. Maybe it's the Sixth Amendment. What is the Sixth Amendment? Maybe I've been saying that wrong. Witness, no. You don't have to be a witness against yourself. You don't have to be a witness against yourself. Fourth Amendment, is it the Sixth Amendment? Anyway, folks, I can't believe it. I thought it was the Fifth Amendment. Self-incrimination. Thank you, Spencer. Huh? No person shall be, blah, blah, blah. And here it is. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice, double jeopardy, nor in criminal case to be a witness against himself. You see that? You know, when you file your income tax, you say, this is the truth, so help me God, and that's where they get you. Self-incrimination. If you hadn't told them that how much money you made, well, then it's not really self-incrimination because you didn't lie to them. And it doesn't matter whether you lied to them or not. You could have made a mistake. And self-report, you with me? Income tax, that's got to go, folks. That system has got to go. When you are forced to sign at the bottom of that tax reform, conform, you're a witness against yourself. You present all the evidence to the government on how much money you made. You guys ever go to Kroger's? We go to Kroger's here. You ever go to, what's the name of that place? Best Buy? Yeah. I don't know if you noticed this or not. When you go to Best Buy and you buy a computer, you go up there and they charge you for the computer and then they add tax. Did you notice that? Then they add tax. They don't tell you how much tax you owe. When you purchase it, they take that tax out. Right? I don't want to get down that rabbit hole. You guys know what's going on. So I'm halted between two opinions here today. I asked before we went live here, why do you guys tune in here? What is it that keeps you coming back in every day? Now, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me that, okay? Now I'll get right to you. What is it? And so in the morning when I get up, I said, Lord, I'm not trying to do a podcast. I'm trying to advance a kingdom. Lord, how do we advance a kingdom? That's what I want to do. I'm going to talk about that a little bit here. Mel's got her hand up there. Come on in real quickly, Mel.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I just wanted to bring your attention to some upcoming events. Typically, we have House to House Bible Study in Ohio on the third Saturday, but it was bumped 1 week later. So I was contacted this week, and I just wanted to let everybody know. Glenn leads that, but we are going to be meeting not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And then also, I just want to mention the other two events that are posted there. Natural Family Month is coming up May to June, Mother's Day to Father's Day. That is Jim Harrison that leads that up. And then don't forget, the annual huddle is coming up in July, starting on the 10th. Thanks, Coach.
Mel, you're all over it, man. I appreciate that. Appreciate all that's going on. And boy, We're in a crucible, buddy. We're in. I want to get into some of that here real quickly, if I could. I don't know. Big news. Pull up number six. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Hope you did. Why is it everything we touch seems to have an impact? Justice Department, Huffington Post. By the way, I searched all over the internet trying to find this story today. You know, I can't even find it. Stuart Rhodes and the boys, the Justice Department moves to toss seditious conspiracy convictions of Oath Keepers and Proud Boys. I spoke to Stuart Rhodes yesterday. He's ecstatic, as you can probably imagine. The justice system under, what's her name? Judge Jeanine, I think it is now. She's throwing out the set-up conviction of the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. Stuart Rhodes will get his VA benefits back. He will get his monthly whatever retirement check, all that stuff that was illegally taken away from him, illegally. Now, those of out there who want to gripe and moan and complain about Trump, I think Stuart Rhodes is probably pretty glad Trump's president right now. I would think so. I spoke to Stuart last night, gave him a call, and he would come back on. I just didn't want him to come on this morning. Justice Department moves to toss seditious conspiracy convictions. The Justice Department filed to have their rights restored because the Justice Department got in there and saw exactly what it was that had been done to those guys. So we have to, again, I want to pat you guys on the back because we raise the attention of it, right? And good things happen. We pray and things happen. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. But I want to just publicly again thank all of you who sent emails and did different things. Stuart Rhodes, put that picture of him, folks. He's going to be restored. Now the question I would ask is: they're going to give him back pay? Are they going to give him back pay? Wow, huh? It's unbelievable what we've allowed to happen. Okay, so here's where I want to go today. Okay, real quickly. I've done this in the past, but I think it's critical that we understand this. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. That's what the Bible tells us about this natural life that we're living. If you're in this natural world, you are going to be influenced, bludgeoned, attacked by evil forces. Now, look, some people don't get attacked by evil forces because you let a sleeping dog lie. People that are profoundly lost, maybe they're not. People who are actually trying to do something constantly are running into obstacles, roadblocks. Why? Because it's a spiritual war. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're in a carnal world, but our weapons aren't carnal. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, what's a stronghold? Stronghold could be a mindset. It could be a habit. It could be whatever. And many of us are, thank you, Spencer, we are dealing with strongholds in our lives. Strongholds. We don't even understand that. Why do we do the things we do? A stronghold is a fortified place, a place of security. Strongholds. What makes you come back to this in your way of thinking? What makes you constantly be thinking about the past? What makes you worry, fear? It's strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits. And strongholds. And Jesus came to deliver us from strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds. They're real, folks. They're real. And the things that you're dealing with in your relationships are the strongholds on others that you're dealing with. And you can't even see it. They don't know it. They can't communicate clearly. Why? Because only the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from that. Only the blood. You have to have what the Bible calls the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ? I mean, really? You have the mind? There's nothing sadder than to hear somebody say, I saw that one coming. I knew that was going to happen. Why? Because a lot of times a lot of power of life and death's in the tongue is what the Bible says. We speak damnation into our own lives. We pray, Lord, give me a good day. Oh, thank you, Jesus, and protect my family and everybody I love. And then as soon as we get done, we start worrying. That's a stronghold. Worry is sin. It's sin. You say, Coach, I know. How do I get rid of it? It's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. Bible calls them familiar spirits. Hey, Spencer, right off the top of my head, just Google that. What is a familiar spirit? Friends, you are being influenced by spirits. A familiar spirit. What is it? Familiar spirit is a supernatural entity often believed in European folklore. Of course, European folklore. The Bible talks about it. What? Huh? Demonic entity, wicked spirits that impersonate the deceased people, provide occult knowledge, divinations, guidance to the living. So demonic entities are constantly, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Psalm 2 says what? The kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. The rulers take counsel together. The spirits are occupying those in positions of authority, and the heathen are raging because we can't figure out why everything is messed up. And the church says we're not going to get involved in politics, and therefore leave the political realm open to the demonic. Anybody want to argue with me on it? It is so friggin' clear to me. The kings of the earth set themselves. No. We're not talking about, folks, come on. I'm not talking about King Edward, King, what? No, the kings of the earth, spiritual forces that are kings of the earth, and they take counsel together. What? Yes, these spiritual entities take counsel together. By the way, against the Lord, against his anointed. You want to do something for God? Just watch how much hell's going to break loose in your family, in your life, when you do that. Because those spiritual entities are doing everything they can to keep you from advancing the kingdom. It's right in front of us. That Eric Swalwell, been dinging women all across them, doing whatever, taking drugs. Hey, his colleagues didn't know that? They didn't know that? Sure they did it. I asked myself the other day, bear with me. Nancy Pelosi. Why'd she have so much power over people? How could that old hag have such power over people? Well, she's one of the kings of the earth. The spirit behind Nancy Pelosi is one of the kings of the earth. You think Nancy has had dirt on everybody? Do you think she had dirt on her own team? Do you think she was taking money and graft and giving it to keep them? Come on, man. Come on. Wouldn't some young buck rise up and say, get rid of that old hag. Let me take charge here, right? No, it's dark. Okay. So here's where I want to go today, okay? Wow. What's the kingdom of God? Now, I've done this before, but some of you maybe have never heard it, so bear with me here a second. What is the kingdom of God? Let me phrase it a different way. What's the difference between the kingdom of God, hang on, and heaven? Are they the same thing? Anybody out there know the Lord's Prayer? I do. I know the Lord's. Excuse me. Hiccups. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God, folks, is not somewhere we're going. It's something that has come. Huh? Yes. Authority, godly authority. The kingdom of God is where God rules and reigns, where his precepts, his commandments, he rules and reigns, by the way, in the hearts of men. And we teach in our churches that we're going to go to heaven. I go to God questions because they're pretty generic. They're pretty bland, if you will, right? What's the kingdom of God? Scroll down, Spence. The kingdom of God is referenced often in the Gospels. Mark, look all, and other places in the New Testament. The kingdom of God is synonymous with the kingdom of heaven. They are the same thing. The kingdom of God, folks, kingdom means there's a king. We'll say it again, you didn't get it. Kingdom means there's a king. And kingdom means dominion of the king. Give me a thumbs up, buddy. You tracking with me here? Kingdom, dominion of the king. And the concept of the kingdom of God takes on various shades of meaning in different passages of scripture. See, thy kingdom come. Okay, come on. Come on now. Come on now. What does a kingdom have? What does a kingdom have? Rules, regulations, enforcers, yada, yada, right? Rule and reign. And so when we say the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, what are we talking about? The advancement of a kingdom from a king who rules and reigns. Lord Jesus, please come and rule and reign first in my heart, and secondly, in my family, in my affairs. The Lord rule and reign over all the earth. His rule and reign is unlimited. And you and I are ambassadors of this kingdom here on earth. That's why we're supposed to go to all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Why? That advances a kingdom here on earth. And we're teaching in our churches that that's someplace we're going, not something that's coming. Broadly speaking, the kingdom of God is the rule of an eternal sovereign God over the church? No, over all the universe. His kingdom, Jesus Christ, right now rules and reigns over the entire universe, whether we believe that or not, whether we're being taught that or not. Several passages of scripture show that God is the undeniable monarch. He's the king. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His throne's in heaven, but his kingdom rules on earth. Tracking with me here? Heaven is where he is. The kingdom of heaven is here on earth. Why? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Nebuchadnezzar declared his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. And every authority that exists has been established by God. So in one sense, the kingdom of God incorporates everything that is. More narrowly, the kingdom of God is a spiritual rule over hearts. How do you get in the kingdom? You accept the rulership of the king in your heart. His kingdom comes. And then when you accept ruling of the kingdom in your heart, then you go to others and you expand the kingdom of God here on earth. Those who divide God's authority and refuse to submit to him are not part of the kingdom of God. Eric Swalwell is not part of the kingdom of God. In contrast, those who acknowledge the lordship of Christ and gladly surrender to God's rule, where? In their hearts, they're part of the kingdom. In a sense, the kingdom of God is spiritual. Yes. Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world. Friends, of and from are not the same word. It doesn't say his kingdom is not from this world. He said it is not of this world. He said his kingdom was not of this world. And he preached repentance is necessary to be part of the kingdom of God. Why? Because when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and rules and reigns in your heart. That's how the kingdom gets expanded. And they told us you can't pray in school. Why? Because the devil certainly doesn't want the kingdom of God in the heart of those precious little children. And pastor said, well, yeah, that's right. So we're not going to get involved because kingdom's not of this world. No, dude. It's supposed to expand it. Our fathers are in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us trust, and lead us not to deliver us from evil. For thine is it. The kingdom of God can be equated with a sphere of salvation, is where the sphere of salvation is evident. Hey, Betty, you think I'm saved? Do you guys think I ooze kingdom? Huh? You guys think I just ooze kingdom? Am I in heaven? No. His kingdom has come. It's in me. His Holy Spirit rules and reigns in my heart. There's another sense in which the kingdom of God is used in Scripture. On the earth during the millennium. See, we're not talking about that. Daniel said that the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Maybe that's a natural kingdom later on. Many of the other prophets said the same thing. But the kingdom of God has several aspects. See, the Lord is sovereign of the universe. He doesn't need Donald Trump's approval to do what he wants to do. In fact, he may cause Donald Trump to do things that Donald Trump would never do on his own. Because why? He's sovereign king with all power. See, his kingdom is universal. What? Yeah. Yes, he rules and reigns in Russia, whether they understand it or not. And it's our job to expand the kingdom, starting next door, starting in your house, then next door, and next door, so that your entire community is under the authority of the kingdom of God. By the way, they are. They just don't know it. The kingdom of God has several aspects. The Lord is sovereign over the universe. And so in that sense, his kingdom is universal. But at the same time, the kingdom of God involves repentance and the new birth. As God rules in the hearts of his children in the world in preparation for the next, the work begun on earth will find its consummation in heaven. Oh, my goodness. I got some more good stuff. Can I bring up something else? Bring up number four. Understanding the kingdom of God. Then I'm going to open it up here. The kingdom of God is a central biblical concept referring to the sovereignty, rule, and reign of God over all creation. Do you guys understand that that's what it means, thy kingdom come? Talking about rulership. Godship, headship, thy kingdom come on earth, because it's already like that in heaven. Would you please bring your rulers, that kingship here? And how's he going to do that? Why, through people. One person evangelizing another people, and the kingdom of God coming in the heart of individual people. A broad meaning, as its most universal sense, the kingdom of God is the eternal sovereign rule of God over the entire universe. Folks, if you have Christ in your heart, you are already in the kingdom. Oh, I think it's so hard for us to get. Wasn't it the Apostle Paul said, the things I do, I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. But you can't, in your natural sense, do it without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Huh? Look what's going on in America. Is the Holy Spirit ruling and reigning in the hearts of people? Well, it might be in the individual hearts, but they sure don't take it outside the four walls. They go home and tell everybody what a great service they had on Sunday, while the government's ripping them off on Tuesday. This means that God is the ultimate authority in creation, and every earthly authority comes from him. You can laugh all you want. Donald Trump is God's man. God's man. Bible says God raises him up and he brings him down. But here's where people get upset. They think if Donald Trump was God's man, he would be doing godly things. Sometimes he uses ungodly men for judgment. For judgment. In the American church, many who don't even vote say, well, I'm not voting for him. He's not like me, Christian enough like me. Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. But more specifically, the kingdom of God is the spiritual realm where God's authority is acknowledged and lived out. That's what it means when you accept Christ into your heart. Jesus Christ rules and reigns in my heart. He rules and reigns in the heart of my wife. I see it every day. I know he does. I also know a lot of people where he ain't ruling and reigning. I see that every day too. Well, why are those who are not born again, why are they in charge? Because those of us who he told to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you aren't doing it. We go to church on Sunday and we get blessed. Wow. This means God is the ultimate authority in creation, and every earthly authority comes from him. God put Putin in power. Hey, go back there, Spencer. You think that? You think God's not sovereign over Europe? Not so sovereign over Russia? He's not sovereign over China? Is that what you think? Well, the reason the Chinese are acting so crazy is because they haven't invited Christ into their heart to rule and reign. That's the war that's going on. Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world. Not from. When you connect to the Holy Spirit, you got a different kingdom ruling and reigning in your heart. Did it happen to anybody but me? Did anybody that happen to anybody? I struggle with it every day because I want to be in charge rather than the Holy Spirit. Why? Because his kingdom is not of this world. Meaning it's not merely political, but it involves a transformed heart and life. Entry into the kingdom requires repentance and faith and is often linked to the new birth. Those who submit to God's lordship are part of his kingdom. Those who reject it are not. Folks, that's the clash of two kingdoms. There it is. And what are we hearing? I'm going to open it up here now. I'm sorry, I'm going quite a while here. What do we hear from America's pulpits? Don't get involved. Yes or no? Don't get involved. But Jesus said, go into all the world. So Matthew chapter 5. Is that chapter 5, Spencer? Go into all the world. Go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm from the mouth of the Savior himself, by the way. Go ye into all the world. he found it for me. And he said, go ye. Put your name there. Go Jean, go Glenn, go Victoria, go Christine, go Charlotte, go Mel, go Betty, and all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're supposed to do. Do they train you to do that? When's the last, look, I'm not being critical, I'm just trying to paint a picture here. When's the last evangelical outreach your church held that wasn't on Easter or Christmas? Ray LeBlanc, right now today, I believe, is standing out on the street in Wisconsin holding a pro-life sign. Is that what you're doing, Ray? Are you out there, Ray?
Amen. Amen. Can you hear me? I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah,
we
okay. Yeah, yeah. That's a good message, what you got going on, Coach, right now. Is get out in the streets. That's where they are. Those are the ones that are lost, you know, and they need to see the message. It's a simple message. Jesus saves. Are you saved? You must be born again. That's signs that I have up and down the street, hundreds of cars going by, and this is part of the calling. I just, real quick, yesterday we gathered together. We watched the God Smuggler, Brother Andrews. He started off with a burden in his heart in a bicycle going into Romania and Czechoslovakia. And the God had kept moving him up the ladder. He went from delivering Bibles with a bicycle to a barge with a million Bibles on it at the end of his testimony. So it's amazing. You start off small and you don't look for greatness, but if you're faithful in a little, God will bless you with more.
Hey, Ray, are they giving you any birds? Are you getting any birds this morning? Any middle
well,
fingers?
The sun's just coming up. It's a new day dawning. I didn't see too many fingers yet. The windows were dark. I should know pretty soon.
But you're in the battle, aren't you? Aren't you? Aren't you the kingdom of light taking on the kingdom of darkness? Isn't it really what you're doing?
I'll tell you, these people that are burdened with life going up and down these streets, I got signs saying, I'm praying for you right now, and Jesus saves. And, that's just part of our calling. I think it helps all of us to be involved and engaged to build our faith up. So that's what I'm trying to do. I give you the thanks for that because you're the one gave me the football.
Ray, what's the response of the other churches? Other churches advancing the kingdom. What's their response to what you do?
Well, hey, I'll tell you, 2 weeks ago we were out here during the No Kings rally, and across from us were probably 300 people with WWJD signs, and I told them what Jesus would do. He wouldn't be doing what you're doing because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
You're judgmental. You're not allowed to judge. You can do that, right?
A righteous judge, righteously judge.
That's right. So the kingdom of God in America.
Amen. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate you. God bless.
Created a monster there, huh? Created a monster. Amen. 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 By the way, does your church go to the streets? Other than Easter, book bags? You go to do what Jeff Klein, go to city council meetings? Does your church go to them? No, we'd rather yell surrender. We lose. Jesus is coming. We lose. Well, I'm cynical, aren't I? I'm cynical. Who wants to get in here? Jeff Nares, come on in.
I find it interesting.
Hang on, Jeff. Yeah, Mel, they want to go overseas. They want to go for a vacation in the Bahamas and say they're on a mission trip. Huh? Oh yeah, but hell, they won't go stand outside Kroger's. They won't go there. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say, I find it interesting as to when the Great Commission was given. Meaning, was it before the crucifixion or after the crucifixion? How effective would it have been if it was only given before?
And by the way, Jeff, that's why he calls us his witnesses. We testify about what we saw. We're witnesses, folks. You need to go witness to what happened. Didn't mean to cut you off, Jeff. I do it for a living.
That was it. Okay. Just find that interesting. I ponder, you know, how effective. You know what, the timing is so amazing to me if you think about it.
It is. So let me throw this one at you, folks, because you ain't this kind of off color. Google it. The word testify comes from early history, where when a man sat up as a witness, they put clamps on his testicle. That he vowed to tell the truth as he gave testimony. Serious business, I think. Mary Beth, come on.
When I was on the trip to get the pup, for every power and principality that attacked me, Coach, God hemmed me in on all sides.
Well, pick the one in front of you. Take that one on. Hey, you can't fight them all at once. Can't fight them all at once. Jack.
In my experience, the church hasn't capitulated. They have convinced themselves that what they're doing is engaging in the battle.
That's right. Hiding. They're hiding.
They've convinced themselves that they're actually doing something. I talked to a pastor. I asked him if I could have 5 minutes to talk to his congregation to, in a way not to interfere with their service. And he said, well, we don't do that. What we do is we hand out the Christian Civics League voter guide. Really? Really? And this guy, I know him fairly well. I know his parents. He knows what's going on. He's engaged, but his level of activity is handing out the Christian Civic League's voter guide. Come on.
Hey, Jack, here's a good one for you, folks. Where's the uproar from the American church to what they did on January 6th? Hang on a minute. Hang on. I'm going to get you all in here. I'm connecting some dots here today. What they did to guys like Stuart Rhodes. Hundreds of thousands of them, right? Did you know this point number 9? Is it going to be any justice? Is the church going to demand any justice to what they did to our brothers? FBI's secret J6 war game has been exposed. Huh? Yeah. Scroll down. Scroll down to John Solomon. Keep going down. Going down. There it is, right there. Huh? Huh? Here's what they know. Is anybody gonna, how about this, publicly hang for what they did to Stuart Rhodes, Bill Dunphy, thousands and thousands of God-fearing men? Are the pulpits gonna rise up? Do the pulpits think that they got what they deserve because, huh, they shouldn't be involved with politics? They should just be sharing the gospel. It's John Solomon. Did you guys know this? Did you know that? There's overwhelming evidence now that the FBI was, in fact, embedded in the crowd, stirring up the crowd on January 6th, caused by Pelosi. I'm going to show you that, too. Go ahead. Play that.
Yeah, they did. They had a tabletop exercise that they ran in Boston in August of 2020, 5 months before January 6th occurred. The memos, which Kash Patel just turned over to Congress, he just found them recently, turned them over to Congress at the request of Chairman Barry Loudermilk, who's in charge of the J6 investigation now in the House, show that the FBI knew there was a strong possibility of a hanging election or a contested election, that both sides appeared to be agitated and likely would
I got to get this in, then I'll open it back up. Where's Pelosi? Go to number 5. Go to number 5. Did you guys know this? Is she gonna hang? She should hang. Folks, she should hang. No, Spencer, it's number 5. Number 5. There. Huh? You guys seen this? This is Nancy Pelosi the day of the insurrection. In her car, on a phone. Just listen. Go ahead.
We have responsibility, Terry. We did not have any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. This is ridiculous. You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural stuff that should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient resources.
No, there's not a question of how they had been. They don't know. They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more. We have responsibility.
That's right. That's right. Hey, she's not telling you. She refused the National Guard. She's refused it. Her ass ought to be in jail, not Stuart Rhodes. Not Stuart Rhodes. Why? Because there's a higher level of responsibility for our leadership. Nancy Pelosi. Kevin, come on in. Ray, you still got your hand up. I'll get you if that's what you want. Come on in, Kevin.
Yeah, we see all this injustice and stuff. And then over the last day or so, I've seen all these pietist Christians getting all bent out of shape because Donald Trump retweeted a meme here in the last few days. And that meme has been out since the 1st of February. But yet they've got to put their nose in the air and get all bent out of shape and preach their righteousness. And that
Kevin,
Coach, Nothing has changed. It's the same as it today as it was 200 years ago, as it was 2,000 years ago. We got a whole bunch of people that think they're righteous, and they don't know shit. I'm sorry, Coach. They don't know. They don't know.
They're not even capable of understanding that this was a setup. I said enough about it. Amen, Kevin. The how easily we are fooled makes me wonder sometimes if we have the Holy Spirit. How easily we're fooled. I talked about that yesterday. I'm not going to talk about it today again. Donald Trump is a minister of God for good. That's what the word says. Say, Coach, he's not doing good. Doesn't matter. He's the minister of God for good. In other words, he's a minister of God to advance what God's trying to do. Doesn't say he's good. So he's a minister of God for good. Maybe we need spanked. Maybe God said we need somebody to do some spanking. I think I'll put that guy in there and let him spank people who don't give a damn about murdering unborn babies and training children in homosexuality. Maybe we need, those people need spanked. Maybe. Well, you could have got Kamala. Come on in, Adam.
Hey, good morning. I get so mad when I hear these politicians open up their mouths and spew lies and turn on the news and look at all the subversion and the manipulation. And I've been crying out for God.
You think you're not putting money in their pockets, Adam? Come on.
Yep. Absolutely. And I've been crying out for God for justice. And the thing I got to keep reminding myself, Coach, justice or not, they will face justice when they stand before the Lord.
Yeah, but Adam,
come on, Adam.
You mean there isn't one perpetrator they could arrest? Not one? Not one?
I personally think every single one of them should be arrested. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, Trump changed up their bodies.
We can arrest anybody?
Well, Trump just traded out Pam Bondi for that other gentleman, so maybe we will see arrests now. Maybe we will.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Let's keep praying.
Hey, what? Hey, they take away Paul Gosselin's license simply for bucking the system. Amen or not, Paul? Huh? Amen or not? And so when they do that to Paul, the next person says, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. So they arrest Bill Dunphy, and the next person says, I ain't going to do it. Rapture's coming. I ain't going to do it. We're not smart enough to figure out what the hell's going on. How the game's played. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. That's what we're fighting. His kingdom has come to defeat him. But we think his kingdom's come to evacuate us.
Agreed 100%, Coach.
We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We hide inside our bushels called churches. Pray for evacuation. Oh, you know I'm telling you the truth. Vinny.
Hey, Coach. I just put in a video. It's only a minute long, but it's about J6, about them releasing a protester.
Pull that up, Spence, if you can. It's in the chat. Hey, friends, we have many of our Christian brothers and sisters who think there was an armed insurrection on January 6th. They still believe that. Okay, Vinny's got this up. New J6 shows J6 protester being unhandcuffed and fist bumped by Capitol Security, meaning he was one of the guys who was embedded in the crowd. He was a good government FBI employee infiltrating and acting like an insurrectionist. Really?
Boom.
Go ahead and play. There you got him, boy. Oh, there you go, buddy. There you go. Oh. Give him a fist bump here. Huh? They wanna put Stuart Rhodes in jail. Stuart Rhodes in jail. And how many of you, us, think he deserved it? He deserved it. Somebody rescue me. Somebody rescue me. Go ahead, Paul.
You know, when I first met Stuart with you on that that expose, you could see Stuart was, living on the margins, right? I mean, he was humbled in a way that cannot be imagined. When you're in jail like that, and you got absolutely no power and all that, I mean, that'll break you. I could see he was broken, Coach. I could definitely see he was broken. I've been there, Coach. It's not a good feeling. That's God humbling you for the next move, Coach.
That's right. Hey, but you know what's really good, Dr. Paul? Same, you, Stuart Rhodes, you didn't go home suck on your thumb. You understand the war that you're in?
A lot more. I guarantee you we're praying a lot more. And by the way, Coach, that's the first thing I did. I mean, I was helping him out financially a little bit, and as you were, Coach. But that's not coincidence. He gets on this show, people are praying for him. Next thing you know, he's getting a little bit of relief. But it's not a lot of relief, Coach. It's the bare minimum. That's a small fixed income. He's just trying to keep a roof over his head and food in his mouth, Coach. Amen. I know it. I know it in my heart because I deal with it every day, Coach.
Amen. And Paul, hey, Paul, the church is no longer interested in justice. It doesn't bother us to see a brother persecuted. It doesn't bother us. And it should. Let me shift gears on you because, I'm looking at something here right now. Pull that up. Pull up number one. I don't even remember what it was. Glenn Beck, pull that up. I got something else I want to show you here real quickly. This is Tim Burchett. Representative Tim Burchett with Glenn Beck. Go ahead.
This is going to floor you. If you haven't heard the news, it's going to floor you, America. Apparently, that whole impeachment process was dirty. That everybody was lying, everybody was involved, and they had nothing. They had nothing. They manipulated the system. And Alan Dershowitz is coming out today saying, for the first time in American history, this can now be expunged from the record. This was so bad that it should be expunged from the record. Again, nothing's going to happen. Nobody's going to go to jail for it. But, I mean, how much trouble are we in, Congressman, when this can be done and nobody will really pay a price?
And I wish you'd call me Tim. I'm sure somebody's going to get a real stern letter written to them, and somebody's going to wag their finger at somebody, and not a dadgum thing will happen to anybody. That is just the way this town is, because everybody's compromised, Mr. Beck. Everybody's got dirt in their background when you get to these higher levels, and they're afraid to do anything. And the gloves need to come off. America needs to see somebody in chains let out of the Capitol building, and it's gone on long enough. I agree with
you. I'll tell
you,
go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'll call you Tim if you'll call me Glenn. Sorry to interrupt, but that's the lesson that the Republicans need to learn from Hungary over the weekend. They didn't get off the bandwagon of being conservatives. They said the conservatives that are in power will not stop the corruption. We need to stand for the corruption. If it's in our house or somebody else's house, it's got to be exposed and people have to go. They believe the Republicans now have stopped serving the people. The minute people think you serve yourself and not the people that voted you in, you're done. And that's where the people are.
100%. I couldn't have said it better. This message approved by Burchett for Congress. And look, we have got to call it out in our own house, because if we don't, we become the Democrats. We become something of convenience. And if it costs us a majority for a short amount of time, do it. I think America is ready for it. And that's why one of the reasons America doesn't trust Congress. You know, I always say everybody, both parties are crooked. Theirs is just a little more crooked than ours. And I think that's the case, unless we show America otherwise. And by doing so, we've got to go after our own members and take the gloves off.
It's not just that. It's how do you explain something that is 80% popular with everybody, Republicans, Democrats, independents, and it won't pass the Senate? You're not serving the people. The question is, who are you serving? So it's not just going after your own people. It's about doing the things that the American people want. And if somebody is breaking the law, then that needs to be solved. That has to be, those people have to be punished. We're talking about punishing people now. We can't even agree on punishing people who are killing people, you know, stabbing them 50 times because, you know, they're in a special interest group. Well, the biggest special interest group, quite honestly, is the progressives and all of those who are just milking the system on all sides in Washington, D.C. Those people have got to pay. They have to pay, or we don't have a republic.
Boom, boom. Okay, one more thing. Jeff, before I bring you in there, pull up number 10. You sitting down, folks? You sitting down? No, is that what it is? No, it's a chart. It's a chart. I think I sent it to you, Spence. I hate it when this happens to me. Folks, bear with me. I get up in the morning. There it is. Paul, how about this one, Paul? Drug adverse event comparison. Adverse events. Ivermectin, 4,800. 493 people died from ivermectin, or they're saying they did. Hydroxychloroquine, under 126 deaths. Flu vaccine, 76 deaths. Dexamethasone, I don't even know what that is, 433 deaths. Tylenol, 706. Remdesivir, 566 deaths. COVID vaccines, look at that. 8,156 deaths. COVID adverse events, 1,665,735 from the FDA. Anybody hanging on that yet? Anybody, any perp walks on that? All they can do is go out and take away Paul's license because he disagreed with him. Go ahead, Paul.
And on, Coach, I look at this and I say, the FDA and CDC data, I automatically don't believe it. There's no way that ivermectin ever killed 493 people, Coach.
I mean, I
guess. There's just no way. It's innocuous as it gets, Coach, and very effective, too, by the way.
But, I do it every day.
Yeah, there's a lot of, but they're talking about medications that have been around for 40, 50 years. Dexamethasone is a steroid, Coach. That saves more lives than you can ever imagine. I don't know how they attribute that to death. It's just some lies going on here.
Well, it does, but Paul, here's what you're going to look at. Coach Paul, they gave 134,000 donates of it. Yeah, I don't. Statistics.
I agree, though, Coach. COVID vaccines have been around for like, what, a few years now? And how many people has it killed? That's what I'm saying. And I guarantee you, Tylenol's killed a lot more people than 39,000. And you get that over the counter, Coach.
I get that. So. I get that. Amen. Jeff Klein, come on in, Jeff. Yes, he walked away there. He's still there, Jeffy? He gone. So here we are. Then I guess is kind of wrap this up here this morning. What is it we're supposed to do? Because I know that's probably what we all think. God, what am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do about it? I don't know. Do you talk about it? Do you share information with others? Do you have any idea how much evidence you can show to prove you were right? All those people you've been arguing with for 5 years, 6 years, all the evidence you can now show that you were right. Because until we know the truth, we're not going to be free. Shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, will make you free. Is the media giving us the truth? Is the government giving us the truth? The Swalwell goes out and screwing all these women and nobody knew it. Nobody knew it. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, I've heard that Tim Burchett quite a bit recently. He is a good dude. That boy is just calling it like it is. They have him on at least two or three times a week on Newsmax. And Carl Higbee has him on at least twice. And he always, always, most always, comes in with that Carhartt jacket on. Yep. And that one night, Carl Higbee comes sliding in his chair, didn't have a suit and tie on. He had a Carhartt jacket on to match Tim Burchett. It was hilarious. But he's ripping them. You watch. Tim Burchett would be the next one that Amen. The enemy's coming after.
Amen. Amen. Let me finish on a light note here, okay? Can I do that? Been pretty heavy here today. Pull up number, where is it? Oh, my goodness. Coach, what does this happen to you when you get look at the Alex Jones, King of God. Body doubles, Spencer. Pull that up. It says body doubles. Body doubles. Folks, enjoy the show. What was it Shakespeare said? Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage, right? All the world is a stage. That's why we got to cling to what the truth is, folks. There's so few people who are saying it. Compromise is everywhere, even in Christianity. You're going to make enemies as you continue to tell the truth because they don't like the fact that the truth makes us uncomfortable. But Jesus said, we shall know the truth, and the truth, if we know it, it's going to make us free. Keep telling the truth. See ya.